Okay, shall we try it again with the little red circle button clicked?
Let's go for it.
Yep.
It's time to drop the puck on the sports trivia face-off.
You have downloaded Season 2, Episode 5 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. We have Matt and Phil here. We'll meet them in a second. First, we have our co-host, Aaron. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks, Brent. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. We have our guests here, Matt and Phil. Matt, would you like to reintroduce yourself, please? Is this your second or third time on the Sports Trivia Face-Off?
This is actually my fourth time on the show. So.
Oh, okay.
My name is Matt Coleman. I'm from Wichita, Kansas. Big fan of the show and sports in general. I'm an attorney in town and glad to be back on here.
Excellent. And Phil, I believe this is your third time on the show?
Correct. Third time. And then as a question writer for the basketball episode.
Oh, yeah. That was a really good set of questions. Thank you very much for that.
And I would add, Matt's also one of the few people that knows more about Seinfeld than I do. So
Phil did write an excellent Seinfeld game that I played in at one point in time. So,
Philip Sanford, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina, and huge sports fan, and just looking forward to tackling another question set here.
All righty. Well, before we tackle this question set, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there.
Now we need to decide who gets to pick first in the first period, and we are going to add a new rule into the mix. If you win the coin toss, you are allowed to defer the choice to the second period, but not before you hear the categories. Or should we let them hear the categories first and give them a chance to make the other person pick?
I think let them hear the categories first. Let's make a real advantage to winning the toss.
Hey, Brent, what if I want to choose the wind?
Choose the wind?
Yeah, that's more of a Maury Morningweg during when he was a disaster of a head coach with the Lions. They somehow took the Vikings overtime and chose the wind when they won the overtime coin toss.
Oh, instead of taking the ball?
Yes, instead of taking the ball.
Yeah, I'm all for you taking any strategy that the Lions have chosen.
Yes. Best,
Yeah, that might not be that. They're not exactly patent in the strategic sense, are they? So that is going to be our new rule. You'll get to hear the categories, and the winner of the coin toss can defer to the second period if they so choose. Let's find out who's going to win that coin toss. Matt, you were first into Squadcast, so I'm going to let you choose between heads or tails.
Well, since tails has failed like 8 weeks in a row, I'll try heads this time.
I appreciate the consistency of the listenership. Like, finally, someone has caught on that tails often fails.
Yes. Hey, Google, flip a coin.
Okay. It's tails.
Naturally.
Of course.
So, Phil, you have won the coin toss. You may either play these categories or defer. The categories are: Ryan is a total jerk to his boss. You don't know Butkus, or having strong qualities of tough, uncompromising realism.
Okay. I don't even know what the third one would even be about. I have suspicions on the first two. I will choose to go first. I'm going to start with Ryan is a total jerk to his boss.
Ryan is a total jerk to his boss. Aside from being a true statement, these are 5 questions in which Brent will have to read things about pro wrestlers with what he would consider actual athletic achievements.
Thank you, Ryan.
With the little greater than 3 heart thing pointed next to it. I love you too, Ryan. Number 1. Just a month after the Bulls defeated the Jazz in the 1998 NBA Finals, what Bull wanted a rematch when he teamed with Hollywood Hogan to defeat Diamond Dallas Page and Karl Malone?
I'm going to go with Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman is correct for 10 points. Number two, during the 1960s, what Detroit Lions defensive tackle turned to pro wrestling to make money during his suspension from the NFL for betting on games?
I'm going to go with somebody who did get suspended for that and also got probably is more known for being an actor than a football player. Go Alex Karras.
Alex Karras is correct. Yes, he was in Blazing Saddles, and he was the adoptive father in the sitcom Webster with, what was the kid's name? Emmanuel Lewis, I think, was his name?
Yes.
Does that sound right? That's why it's not a TV trivia face-off. Number three, what on-screen general manager for the WWE Raw brand won an Olympic gold medal in Atlanta in men's freestyle wrestling?
I believe that's Triple H.
That is incorrect, Matt.
He won in 96, Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle is correct for a 5-point rebound. Well done.
Yeah, the wrestling GM part threw me. And wrestling is not a good category for mine. So thank you, Ryan.
Me neither.
Thank you.
Number four, who has earned two large distinctions, becoming a WWE Raw Women's Champion at SummerSlam in 2018 and winning an Olympic bronze in judo at the Beijing Games?
That is Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey is correct for another 10 points. You're faring pretty well in this category, not to jinx you. Number five, what MMA star born with the super Irish surname Kilpatrick was one of the breakout pros in early UFC events and was the WWE Intercontinental Champion in late 1998, early 1999.
Man, I have a feeling Matt would know this, so I'm not going to do challenge. MMA. Trying to think. Gosh, and that'd be right around... that's right around when I was in college or high school, then college. I'd say I can go with Kimbo Slice.
Kimbo Slice is incorrect, Matt.
It was the most dangerous man in the world, Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock is correct for 5 points.
Well, I'm glad I didn't challenge Matt on that because I've never heard of something called Ken Shamrock before in my life.
When I was one of the first people to get DirecTV way back in 95, 96 when it launched, and one of its big early pay-per-view things that it had on was the early WFCs, and it was Ken Shamrock's name was everywhere on that thing. That's the only reason I know him.
Yeah, he fought Hoist Gracie a couple times and was a big champion there.
I got you, Matt. We are to you. You have to choose between You Don't Know Butkus and Having Strong Qualities of Tough, Uncompromising Realism.
I'll choose the one about realism.
This is the Merriam-Webster definition of the word gritty. So these are all questions about our favorite mascot, Gritty.
All right.
Number one, how many feet tall is our new great orange wonder, Gritty?
Now, are you looking for this just in feet, or does this have to be feet, inches?
Just in feet.
All right. Really have no idea. Let's say that Gritty is, I don't know, 8 feet tall.
8 feet tall is incorrect, Phil.
I will go with, I go with 7.
7 is correct for 5 points. Yeah, that was a tough one.
I'm glad Matt said 8 because that's why I initially wrote down.
Number two, NBC Sports Philadelphia tweeted, "Eat your heart out at Miley Cyrus" when Gritty made his home debut. Why did they do this?
I believe because he came in like a wrecking ball.
Yep, I'm going to give that to you. That's close enough. He made his first appearance at a home game swinging down from the ceiling to the tune of Wrecking Ball.
He didn't come in like a wrecking ball. He came in on a wrecking ball.
Yes. But there's a spot in that video when she's swinging on a wrecking ball, is correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely a direct homage to the video.
That's what a friend told me.
I said, the fact that I knew that is really a miracle. So let's just move on.
Number three, according to Gritty's official bio on the Flyers website, he was discovered during the recent construction of what sports venue where the Flyers play their home games?
This I should definitely know. And it's just stadium names is one of those sports trivia things that just does not stick with me. And then they change them constantly. Problem is, I feel like this is one that Phil will know the answer to. But I don't know that I have a good answer. I don't have a good answer. Maybe they just named the new stadium in honor of the old one and just called it the Spectrum as well. So I'll go with that.
Spectrum is incorrect, Phil.
I've actually been there for a Villanova basketball game. It's the Wells Fargo Center.
Wells Fargo Center is correct for 5 points. Early in its history, it bore a better name when it was the First Union Center, and Philadelphians could refer to it as the FU Center. Number four. Gritty posted a photo of himself shooting Gatorade out of a champagne bottle into a glass placed on his backside in an obvious parody of what famous NBA ex-wife?
Okay. I remember the picture. Who was that? That was, I'm going to go with Kardashian.
You want to take a shot at which one?
I suppose they are different people. Chloe.
Well, it was Kim, but we already said we were going to give it to you. So that's cool.
Yeah.
She was a former wife of NBA player Chris Humphries for 72 days.
That's right.
And a fun fact about that photo that I love bringing up is, I don't know if y'all know the photo he's referring to. Like, Gritty was referencing Kim Kardashian, which was referencing a Jean-Paul Goude photo. I don't actually know how to pronounce his last name, G-O-U-D-E, from 1976. So it was a remake of a remake of a remake, which was kind of cool.
It gets
weirder in every iteration, that photo.
If it can get weirder than Gritty doing it, I'd like to see that happen.
There is a weirder version of that. Mike Golick actually lost a bet on Mike and Mike and had to do his own version of that.
I'm not doing that.
No, nope,
not doing it.
It was pretty funny. It was pretty damn funny. Yeah.
I don't know. I could like print it out and put it in an inconspicuous place that would keep the rats out of my office. Number five. During an intermission youth game between periods against the Avalanche, Gritty was sent to the penalty box where apparent rage took over, and he did what?
I do not remember hearing about this. I'll just say he tried to climb over the glass.
That's incorrect, Phil.
I'm going to say he tried to attack a ref.
That is also incorrect. He broke the penalty box glass.
Oh, that was going to be my first thought, but oh well.
Was that planned or did it just happen?
I would hope it wasn't planned. It does say accidentally. Now, the reason I gave pause is because I didn't know if he was trying to climb over it or what, but apparently he was just smashing against it. That tempered glass, if you hit it just right, it'll shatter real good.
Right.
My favorite headline from this week that I found when I was writing my current events, it was from SB Nation. It says, Gritty is absolutely planning to commit murder at the NHL All-Star Game. And it went through the list of, he posted on Twitter his like list of things to bring. And it was like his swimmies, jersey, underwear, the good pair, face masks, ice skates, rope, rash guard. And they're like, what is he doing? What is he planning? So it's just a whole article, like, deconstructing this list of things to bring. It's like, yeah, he's going to kill someone.
That the people running that account are brilliant. After the first period, we've got a close game. It's 40 for Phil, 30 for Matt. That takes us to the first intermission. Pretty simple category. I'm going to name a trophy, and you need to name the game or competition that must be won to earn it. Number one, the claret jug. Number two, the old oaken bucket. Number three, the commissioner's trophy. And number four, the platypus. And will these guys ponder that? Here's the same old ad you've heard probably about 60 times now. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. The guys are back with their answers. We are going to name the trophy, and they're going to name the game or competition that must be won to earn it. Matt, let's start with you with the claret jug.
I think that's the British Open.
And Phil?
British Open, I put down Open Championship.
Yes, I was instructed to maybe roll my eyes a little bit if they said the British Open, but still accept it. So there you go, Ryan.
I'll take it.
Hey, you get the points. That's all that matters. Number two, Phil, the old oaken bucket.
I'm pretty sure this one's near and dear to your heart, Brent. Indiana-Purdue football.
And Matt?
If that's the case, I'm way wrong. I just guessed the Rugby World Cup.
Phil is absolutely correct. It's the annual Purdue-Indiana rivalry game. And to this day, Purdue students still yell Indiana sucks on every kickoff, whether they're playing Indiana or not.
Like Clemson sucks. It's just what you say. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Number three to Matt, the commissioner's trophy.
I think that's the World Series.
And Phil?
I also said World Series.
World Series is correct. 5 points to both of you. And number four, the platypus, Phil.
I knew this thanks to, I haven't played this video game in 9 years or so, but thanks to the old NCAA football, may it rest in peace, the Civil War game, Oregon State.
And Matt?
That sounded like something you'd win in Australian football, so that's what I guessed.
That does kind of sound like something you'd win in Aussie football. Phil is correct. It's the annual Oregon State rivalry game because a platypus is half duck, half beaver.
Makes a lot of sense.
That's fun.
So there you go. After the first intermission, Phil has a 60-40 lead. Tight game going into the second period. Here is Aaron.
All right, Matt, we'll pick first from these categories. Category one, Ryan is a total jerk to everyone else. Category two, I'm a traveling man. And category three, hail Satan. Satan. Let's play on words.
Okay. Well, I'm never going to pass an opportunity to say Ryan is a jerk, so I'll go with that one.
All right. I appreciate that.
Love you, Ryan.
These are five questions in which Aaron and the guests must ask and answer questions about people with difficult to pronounce names. So that's cool.
Love it. This is awesome.
Number one. In 2017, respected sports columnist Adrian Wojnarowski joined ESPN after a decade writing for what other website?
Okay. I believe that they wrote for Sports Illustrated.
That is incorrect. Phil, do you know?
I'm going to say Yahoo Sports.
That is correct. Yahoo Sports. Number two. While he won the 2010 Open Championship, what South African golfer has the distinction of having been runner-up at all four major golf tournaments, including a sudden death playoff loss at the Masters in 2012?
Keeps coming back to the Open Championship here. Golfer with a name that's hard to pronounce. I'm going to avoid the hard part, and I'm going to say Harrington as the last name.
That is incorrect. Phil, you got a guess?
Yeah, there are a couple possibilities because there are some weird South African names. We're going to go with Louis Oosthuizen.
Louis Oosthuizen? That's correct. Padraig Harrington is Irish.
Ah.
But that is a complicated name.
Yeah.
Number three, after LeBron James, who came in second in NBA All-Star Game voting this year?
Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know. The Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. I don't know how to say his last name. I think you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. Ryan said his name, I believe, is Antetokounmpo. Yeah, I don't know either. But Ryan said, if they try to answer by saying the Greek freak, slap them for me and tell them to try their best. But you did try your best.
I did, so. And said the Greek freak. So I'm going to take it. So good enough for me.
Yeah, we'll give you those points. I just wanted to relay. Ryan knew exactly what was going to happen.
He did.
Number four. What former Raiders cornerback who finished his career in 2013 with the Niners recorded 15 career interceptions and married actress Kerry Washington?
Oh, this is so frustrating. I can see the guy. What is his name? Frustrating part is this will continue my streak of being on this show, being a 49ers fan, and missing a question that involves them. So that's, that's good. I'm pretty sure Phil will know this, but I'll give him a chance to answer it, and I'll challenge him.
Oh, Phil?
All right. I believe it's pronounced Nnamdi Asamoah.
That is it. Yeah.
That is correct. Phil picks up 15 points for the challenge. Question number five. Born to an African-American father and a Swedish-Norwegian mother, what player signed a 5-year, $38 million contract with the Winnipeg Jets in 2016, where he has been playing since 2011?
Current hockey is not my wheelhouse in any way. So I'm going to make this mistake on two consecutive questions, and I'm going to give Phil probably 15 more points, but I'm going to try it one more time.
All right, Phil.
This was a smart challenge. I'm going to go I'm terrible with hockey. So I'm just going to say Nieuwendyk because I know that's a weird hockey name, but it's not the right answer. So Nieuwendyk.
All right. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to weird to pronounce names, the well at the NHL is pretty deep, but we were looking for Dustin Byfuglien, which, by the way, I knew how to pronounce without the spelling or the pronunciation guide.
Yeah, it doesn't have like three Y's in it or something.
It's spelled Byfuglien.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Pronounced Byfuglien.
Yeah.
There's a great video, one of my favorite moments of the playoffs last year. I forget who they were playing. Brent, you might remember. But it was Jets somebody, maybe the Wild, and there was a scrum around the net. And Byfuglien just decided he wanted to, get this one guy, reaches in, grabs him, and just hauls him out of the pile. And I don't remember if it was, his own guy he was trying to keep out of the pile or another guy he was trying to beat up, but it was amazing. He was just like, Byfuglien, smash, just grab him. It was awesome. I might try and find that video later today.
I think that was against Vegas.
Oh, you might be right.
Would he have drug Ryan Reeves out like that, maybe? Because that would be impressive if he drug out Ryan Reeves like that.
Well, I can confirm that Ryan is, in fact, a jerk after that category, so...
And we didn't know that already? Come on.
Well, sometimes you need to confirm what you already know.
Moving over to Phil, your categories are I'm a traveling man or Hail Satan.
I'm going to go with I'm a traveling man.
All right. These are five questions not about James Harden, but about athletes with geographical names. Number one, I think you will get. Who was selected 13th overall by the Charlotte Hornets in the 1996 NBA draft?
1996 draft by the Hornets. That's right around when they picked Kobe, but I think Kobe was 98. Oh, geez. but they didn't really pick him. As, man, now I'm trying to go through mid-90s NBA names directions in them. It's too early for David West because he was at Xavier when I was in high school, which is, oh boy. Some directional names, man. Oh, you said geographic names, correct?
Yes.
So Bobby, I'm trying to think of Bobby Phills, Baron Davis, David Wesley. All right, I'm going to stop wasting everybody's time just because a Geiger counter is used for earthquakes, which is geographic. So I'm going to say Matt Geiger.
Matt Geiger is incorrect, wow. But I appreciate the logic there. Yes. Matt, do you have a guess?
I think it was the first thing Phil said. I think Kobe is a city in Japan, so I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant is correct.
Oh.
Phil, you are killing me.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even think about that. When I think of Kobe, I think of, you know, more food than city. Good job, man. Good job.
Actually, I had a piece of Kobe beef on New Year's Eve. My friend works for a restaurant and we were there. He's like, come here, come try this. Apparently, mm-hmm. like when you get it, it comes with a certificate with the cow's name and everything. Its name was Shishi. It was delicious.
I don't know that I want to know my cow's name.
I mean, I didn't know that I didn't want to know until I knew. And I'm like, I think I like knowing that. Also, real, real tasty. I get the hype. Number two. Which NFL linebacker holds the distinction of playing in the most consecutive games in NFL history, never once missing a game? Between 1998 and 2013, he played for St. Louis, Buffalo, and Washington.
That would be London Fletcher.
It would indeed.
John Carroll University.
God, your college sports knowledge in your brain just blows my mind every time. I love it. Number three. What is the middle name of the current Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback?
Oh, well, it's Dak Prescott. Let's see. I know he went to Mississippi State. I don't know if he's from that South. I'm going to go with – I'll just go kind of an obvious. I'm going to go with Dak Dallas Prescott.
That would be obvious, but it is incorrect. Yeah. Matt, do you know?
I do not know. I guess I'll stick with the Mississippi route. I'll say Jackson.
Also incorrect. It turns out his first name is Rain. His middle name is Dakota. Dak is short for Dakota.
Oh, makes a lot of sense.
That makes, yeah.
Number four. In the 2003-04 season, who became only the eighth player ever to win the Art Ross Trophy for the most points and the Hart Memorial Trophy for NHL MVP? In the same season. It was also the same season his Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup.
I'm going to say Martin St. Louis.
That is correct. Good old Marty. I think that was the year they had at the award ceremony some very attractive woman who did not speak French, apparently, give him the award. She's like, and the award for Hart Memorial Trophy goes to Martin St. Louis. And everyone just went, you know, bless her, she tried. He was great.
See, if I wanted to be a complete pig and say something like, if you look that good, I don't care how you pronounce it, but I won't say that because that would be disrespectful.
Absolutely. But I do think that might have been the attitude of the people who produced that show.
You think?
Just a hunch, yeah. I mean, she was real hot. And then, you know, listen, you can't be good at everything.
No.
Number five. What U.S. athlete, who was a hero at the 1988 Seoul Olympics, used her clout to boost the profile of the Epilepsy Foundation? Tragically, she died of an epileptic seizure at the age of 38 in 1998.
I'm trying to think of how this ties into, I guess a city in Italy, Florence Griffith Joyner.
That is correct. Flojo.
Yeah, I was going to say, the first thing that came to my mind was, well, that's Flojo, but I'm like, what the heck does Flo do? I'm like, oh, Florence. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
I didn't do the same mistake as I did with with you know, cities in Japan that share names with legendary NBA players.
It would have been really helpful if you had. So right. Consider that for the next round.
Well, the worst part is the way Aaron set up with how, Phil, you're going to get this.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just like, oh, it's Charlotte Hornets. I love everything about the Charlotte Hornets because you live in Charlotte and you love basketball.
Right.
I'm sorry. I jinxed you. Okay. Going into the second intermission, Matt has 65, Phil has 115, but it is a closer game than that. You guys are both crushing it. Your second intermission question is, name the six people who have won the most episodes of Around the Horn. And while they are trying to remember if they ever watched that show anywhere that wasn't in a bar with the sound off, here's something for you guys to listen to.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
And we are back. Both of our players are apparently as good as they're going to be, which, okay. Let's start with Phil. What six names did you write down?
Okay, I wrote down Tim Collinshaw, Woody Page, Bill Plachke, Sarah Spain, Jackie McMullen, and Bob Ryan.
And Matt, which six gentlemen did you say?
I had Page, Collinshaw, Adande, and then Smith, Johnson, and Williams.
I see what you did there.
Yep.
All right. Correct answers are, with 222 wins, number six, Jackie McMullen, would have also accepted Jackie Mack. Fifth place, 297 wins, Kevin Blackstone. Fourth place, 309, Jay Adande. Number three, 366, Bill Plachke. Number two with 458 wins, Tim Collinshaw. And number one with 58.2 and a half, for some reason, wins, Woody Page. And after the second intermission, Phil picked up 20, Matt picked up 15, Phil has 135, Matt has 80, still plenty of game to play. Back to you, Brent, for the third period.
Matt, you get your choice between these three categories. I want to put on my boogie shoes, sitting on the dock of the bay, or I'm too old for those other two categories.
I don't know what any of those are about. I'll try I'm too old for those other two categories.
I'm too old for these other two categories. These are five questions about athletes who played past their Best Buy dates.
Okay.
Shots fired.
Number one, with Adrian Beltre's retirement, who remains the last current MLB player to have been active in the 1990s?
I believe that's Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo Colon is correct for 10 points. It's a good start. Number two, what quarterback played with the Bears, Colts, Oilers, and Raiders until he was 48 years old and has an unbreakable 26 seasons played in the NFL?
I'm going to go with George Blanda.
Blanda is correct for 10 points. He was also a kicker for a while in addition to quarterback, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had the all-time points record for the longest time until...
Right.
The Andersons came along and broke it.
Right. Number three, what pitcher of the Negro and Major Leagues played professional baseball until he was nearly 60 years of age?
He played for the Kansas City Monarchs in the Negro League. That'd be Satchel Paige.
Satchel Paige is correct. You're 3 for 3 in the category so far. Jinx not intended.
And not needed right now.
Number four, what South African legend retired from golf in 2009 at 73 years of age?
Why I keep getting South African golf questions. I feel like this is one I should know, though. It's just not coming to me today. I can't even think of a good guess of somebody who it would be. Oh, I'll go with Watson.
Watson is incorrect, Phil.
I'm going to go with Gary Player.
Gary Player is correct for a 5-point rebound. And number five, until 2007 when he turned 46, what sport did Karch Karai play competitively?
That name sounds very familiar. I'm gonna go with cricket.
Cricket is incorrect, Phil.
I'm gonna say volleyball.
He won Olympic golds in both team and beach volleyball, and he currently coaches the U.S. women's national team. Volleyball is correct for 5-point rebound.
That's why I knew the name.
And Phil, we are to you. Would you like to select I Want to Put on My Boogie Shoes or Sitting on the Dock of the Bay?
Man, this is tough. Man, if he did a category all about DeMarcus Cousins, that'd be fantastic. But I don't think so. So I don't want to venture into that mystery category. But I'm going to say Dock of the Bay.
Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. These are 5 questions about ESPN anchors. That was a stretch, Ryan, but we'll let it go.
What I want to know, so I'm going to just jump in here, because last week that I'm too old for these other 2 categories was after this category is fire, and then another one that was super, like, I don't know what these words mean because I'm old.
Wasn't that the yeet category?
Yes. It was yeet and lit were the 2. And then the third one was I'm too old for the other 2 categories. And I want to know if he intentionally swung back to songs from, like, whatever decade these songs are from. I'm so bad at music, you guys. But, like, here's 2 old songs, and then I'm too old for those other 2 categories, because that is shady as hell, and I'm here for it. I'm assuming it was intentional. And it's great.
No, knowing Ryan, the evil genius, I'd say it was absolutely intentional.
Nice work, buddy.
Number 1. In 1987, ABC hired the first full-time American female sports anchor. She would later join ESPN. Who is this woman?
I can't remember. So right around that time, that's when a whole bunch of different women got their starts in sports media. And I'm not going to say their name. I have like 4 or 5 names in mind. I'm not going to say their names in case it'll trigger something with Matt's memory. The first one that popped in my mind, I think, was with CBS because of college basketball. I remember her on college basketball sidelines. So I'm going to go with my second one, which is Hannah Storm.
Hannah Storm is incorrect. Matt?
I'm going to go with Susie Cohen.
Susie Cohen is incorrect. The correct answer is Linda Cohn.
Oh, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
That's really frustrating.
Yeah, my first thought was...
Also, mega Rangers fan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, my first thought was Leslie Visser, but I remember she did a lot of college basketball, and that was all CBS. And then the other names then the reason I didn't say that my other names were because Linda Cohn was one of them. Robin Roberts was another one. So yeah, they all started right there, late 80s, early 90s. So good question.
Yeah. That was a good question. Number 2, of all current Sports Center anchors, which 2 are named John?
Oh, I know one for sure. Oh, I know. I will guess both of them. We're going to say John Anderson, John Buchcross.
That is correct for 10 points.
Bucci came to speak at my college when I was there, just like in a class. I don't know how they made this happen, but he just like showed up and talked for like an hour at Trinity when I was there. It was the coolest thing.
Cool.
Yeah. He's a neat guy.
Number 3, running for just under a full year. Who were the 2 hosts of SC6, the 6 p.m. Eastern hour of SportsCenter during 2017 and 2018?
Two anchors I'd say are much better writers than TV hosts. Jemele Hill and Michael Smith.
That is correct for another 10 points.
I really, really enjoy their writing. Not a huge, huge fan of their TV presence.
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't watch. I so rarely watch SportsCenter these days because they don't cover the National Hockey League and football I can get elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So. Number 4, what Seton Hall alum has been with SportsCenter since the show's third day on air and has won 11 Emmys for his investigative endeavors on ESPN?
Man, this is a tough one. I don't know.
I know that's way outside of your expectations.
Yeah.
I'm just going to do this now.
It's Bob Lee.
Bob Lee is correct. Yeah. He's won Emmys for both Sports Center and for Outside the Lines.
Yeah, we gave you those points like 10 minutes ago. Don't worry about it.
We did the same thing with Kobe Bryant, too. But number five. In 2012, what anchor was in a propane grill accident at her home, which resulted in second-degree burns to her hands and chest and appeared on air with bandaged hands?
Well, this is going to be the second time I've answered this person in this round. Hannah Storm.
Hannah Storm is correct for 10 points.
Just keep saying it till it's right.
Right, right.
That's right. After the third period, the score is Phil has 185, Matt has 110, but it is not over yet. As was proven last week, you can earn lots and lots and lots of points in the shootout. Yeah. And for that, here's Aaron.
All right. How does the shootout work, Brent?
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
Now that we know how the shootout works, here are your questions. Number one, in years, how old was Wilt Chamberlain when he died? Number two, the number of test runs Sachin Tendulkar has hit during his 24-year career. Three, the number of career interceptions thrown by Eli Manning so far. Go f*** yourself, Ryan. This is what I get for sight reading these questions. And while they are doing some math, here is something for you to listen to.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
And we are back. They have written down some answers. Let's find out what they are. Matt, how old was Wilt Chamberlain when he died?
I said 60 years old.
And Phil?
I knew he was in his 60s. I remember when he died. I put down 66.
Well, you guys got it surrounded. He was born in 1936 and died in 99. He was 63 years old. So you were both off by three, and you're both within 10%. So tie game so far. Number two, the number of test runs Sachin Tendulkar has hit during his 24-year career. Phil, what did you say?
I said, I don't know anything about cricket. So I said 777. Because why not? Because, well, you know, Las Vegas is for geek ball. Why not? Slot machines.
Why not? Matt, what did you say?
So I have no idea what a test run is. So this is probably going to be very embarrassing. I said 15,000.
Well, I think, and this is, I'm just guessing, Brent, for the correct name. I'm assuming a test run is any run hit during a test match? Question mark?
Correct.
Cool. Mm-hmm. He has hit 15,921 of them.
Wow. Really? So,
yeah, right? It's cool.
Nice job, Matt. Wow.
I literally just put a number down. I thought I was going to be off by a factor of like 100, so.
You are off by 921, which is also within the 10% margin, so you are 2 for 2 on that.
Damn.
And number three, the number of career interceptions thrown by Eli Manning so far. Matt, what'd you say?
I said 280.
All right, and Phil?
I said 225. I know it's over 200. And I was just trying to do some math based on entering the league in 03. And I know first season he didn't play all that much. So I went with 225.
Yeah, it is over 200. It is 239. So Matt was off by 41. Phil was only off by 14, which put Phil within the 10% margin. And I'm not entirely sure how to score this, Brent.
Well, neither person won the shootout, so I would say no points are awarded.
That sounds right to me. Which is nuts, because you guys were super close on 2 out of 3 of them.
Yes. So.
Yeah. If only Eli had been a little bit worse than he actually is.
I mean, I think that every day. Like, that's my biggest problem with my quarterback, is he doesn't suck quite enough.
Oh, he sucks a lot, let's be fair.
Unless he's playing against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, in which case he's great. And really, that's all I care about. Like,
he's still pretty he's still pretty bad. His defense was pretty good. Let's not give him too much credit here.
I that's okay. That's fair. And yeah, no, he sucks. And I'm just super bummed out with the whole team. Anyway, where was I? Right. Final scores. Phil 185, Matt 110. Great game, gentlemen. It really could have gone either way in the shootout. You were both so close.
Yeah, both of you got within 10% of two of them, which would have given you the 100-point bonus even without winning the shootout. So, yeah, that really could have gone either way. As it was a difference of only 75. Guys, thanks for coming on a Saturday afternoon and playing. Matt, do you have anything you'd like to share with us?
You know, it was a great game.
In closing?
I mean, outside of Kobe Bryant, Phil played a pretty perfect game there. And I still don't know what a test run is, but I'm pretty happy I got close on it. So I'm going to count that as a moral victory for me.
That's amazing for, like, just literally picking a number out of thin air being that close.
Yeah, I really did think I was going to be off by, like, 14,000, especially when I heard Phil's number, because he has been wrong basically all day. So I was ready to be embarrassed. So.
Nope, good work.
And Phil, anything you'd like to say in closing?
Thank you again for hosting today, and looking forward to hearing future matches. I know some of my Geek Bowl teammates have been on recently, so looking forward to hearing some hearing some episodes that by the time this one's released has already been released. So, you know, looking forward to just continuing on with this great product.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for the kind words. We appreciate it. So for Matt, for Phil, and for Aaron, my name is Brent. We will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer. And I need to recut that question because I said something wrong. I was wondering, Aaron, you had a very confused look on your face. And I was like, I wonder what that's about. And then I saw you were typing in that cell. I'm like, I'm going to figure out soon.
I was wondering if you caught yourself or if you were just going to let it ride.
I completely did not caught. I did not caught myself.
I said it.
Yeah. Oh.
Number one. In 2017, respective sports columnist, I was not ready for this question. Hold on. All right, here we go.
I'd like to thank Ryan for putting this in the second period and not the first of the third.
Yeah, but he did type out the phonetic pronunciations, but he hid them in like row 50 of the spreadsheet. So thanks to Brent for putting them up with the questions. All right.
Did he make it like a puzzle for you to like discover the pronunciations?
No. That would be next level commitment.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that sounds like something he would do. So.
Yeah.
Well, he wouldn't do that because then he'd know how much time we'd have to spend finding a new question writer.